covering the crew all season long. It's Brewers Extra Innings, now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Bob Brainerd.
You know, sometimes the baseball gods smile upon you. They did that tonight. I said, gods need a Brewer victory so we can get the magic number down into single digits. And I need a quick game because, you know, past my bedtime, past a lot of folks' bedtime, even devoted Brewer fans, you know, we got to work tomorrow. Got them both. Now, gods, if you can just have the Dodgers rally because the Cubs have taken the lead out in L.A., but we'll take that one at a time. Hi, Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night for Brewers Extra Innings. 3-2 the final score out in San Francisco. Brewers edged the Giants. It got dicey in the end, but they still get it done to bring that magic number down to 9 to clinch the NL Central. Joining me tonight, late night with Augie. Augie after dark is what I like to call it. Augie, let's start with the starter. How about Aaron Civale? Really got the guys off to a terrific start on the hill so that they didn't need a whole lot of runs. He was magnificent.
He was. You know, you get to this time of the year and you look at what they had going into this series that they go. You had 19 games. You got 3 with San Francisco, 3 with Arizona, and you go home, you got 3 with Philly and 4 with Arizona again. Quite a tough stretch. And, you know, you're getting time of year saying, you know what, we're going to look and see what our starters can do, trying to see who matches up against the teams for the postseason. And I'll tell you, ever since Aaron Civale's coming over, he's made improvements each and every game. Tonight, I thought he used his fastball. He was locating it very well. He used his breaking ball efficiently. But the umpire had a little bit of a upper strike zone, and he used that to his benefit tonight. And I thought it really worked out well for him.
I would also add, Augie, that I think Civale just looks comfortable. I mean, we all know that sometimes you get traded, and it's a big adjustment. You know, your whole world is rocked, and there's a lot of moving parts that happen when you go from one team in one city to another. But I think Civale just looks the part. He just looks more comfortable in his role now in Milwaukee.
I agree with you. I think when you first saw when he first came, first was traded over the first couple starts, he was throwing. He was making pitches, but he was around the plate. He wasn't getting ahead of hitters. He was throwing the ball good, and he was still effective because he has that good breaking ball that makes him very effective. And he was using his slider and using the fastball on the outside part of the plate. But it just seems like his last 2 or 3 starts, he's been very effective using all his pitches. And I think one thing you see on a pitcher's mound, when a guy gets a sign, he's comfort and he just goes right after the hitter. He's been strike one on a consistent basis, getting ahead of hitters, not falling behind on hitters. The credit to you give a pitcher is number one, when they can pitch ahead in a count and then expand the strike zone. And he's been able to do that because he commands the strike zone with his good fastball and he expands the strike zone with his secondary pitches.
The man talking is Jerry Augustine, former Milwaukee Brewer pitcher on Brewers Extra Innings. Augie, I think it was maybe the last show or a couple shows ago, and I kind of quizzed you on the postseason starting rotation, and I asked you, pick your 1 and 2 guys, no matter who Milwaukee would play and play against, who would be your 1 and 2, and you were quick to answer. You said Peralta and Colin Ray. Ray will pitch tomorrow. Would you still go with them 1-2, or has Civale shown you something to maybe edge into the conversation in a game 1 or game 2?
I think it's going to depend on matchups, Bobby. I think when you look at who they're going to play, you look at what's going on in the division now, what's going on for what you're doing. You got to look at where you are in the top of the top three teams that possibly get a bye. You're 4 games behind them, technically, in the loss column when you look at it. Behind the Phillies and depending on what happens with the Dodgers tonight. So, you know, and they'll depend on when the Phillies come to town. But I think it's who you face and what is the best matchup. I think when you look at this, when you talk about Freddy Peralta and Colin Ray, they've been there for you all year. But, I mean, how can you take out a Tobias Myers who's been throwing the ball very well? Civale and Montas have all been throwing the ball very well. It's just going to be a case of who's the matchup and who do you feel fits best against that. I don't think you can even take out a DL Hall in a possible start. He's been extended a little bit. He can go multi-innings for you. So I think you've got 4 guys there. I think depending on what the matchup is, who, what the type of bulk up that you're facing, is going to a lot to do to see who's going to be that third starter in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Augie, I was at the Rockies game when Myers was just brilliant in beating the Rockies last Friday night. So I'm glad you mentioned him as well. When you talk about matchups, are you talking specifically pitching matchups or the bats that, say, a lefty or a righty might face? When you say matchups in the postseason, what are you looking for? What are you breaking down?
I think the style of offense that you play. I think the style of offense that your opponents play. You know, you look at the teams and where they are. The Padres, probably pretty evenly matched when you talk about right and left-hand hitters. They've got some good power. They've been swinging the bat very well, and they've been playing very well all year. You look at the D-backs. They're the type of team that puts the ball in play. They run the bases very well. They're a lot like the Brewers. They're based on getting guys on base, applying pressure, and they use their speed to their advantage. Then you go at the Mets, a little bit different team. They're more predominantly a right-hand hitting ball club. And then you look at the Braves, who are kind of balanced. I think it depends on the type of team that you're hitting, whether the type of team that is aggressive on the bases, do they score by the home run, do they score by manufacturing runs. I think that's where you look at it and you see where they are predominantly. Where are their strengths in their lineup? So I think that's going to have a lot to do with the way they go. That's why I threw D'Hell Hall in there. I think if you face some of the teams, Atlanta has a couple left-hand hitters. The D-backs have guys who can go back and forth. So I think when you look at that, that's going to give the pitching staff a little bit of an idea of how you want to match up. It's going to be the offense of the other team and what pitcher best matches up against them.
All right, more Augie After Dark when we return on Brewers Extra Innings with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. More of Brewers Extra Innings coming up.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
3-2 the final out in Frisco. The Brewers edged the Giants, game one of that three-game series, knocking the magic number down to just 9. Part three of my wish to the baseball gods, not looking good. Top of the 9th inning now. Out in L.A., and the Cubs lead the Dodgers 6-3. So if that score holds, then the Brewers' magic number will hold at 9. Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher, joining me tonight on Brewers Extra Innings. Augie, let's talk bullpen, and specifically Devin Williams. It got dicey there with 2 on. So you had the tying and the winning run, the walk-off run on base, but Williams able to white knuckle time it and get the final out. But we've seen this from Devin before. This is sometimes, I hate to say it, it's a typical save for him.
Well, he gets challenged in a lot of ways. And number one, there are teams that face him that challenge him in different ways. They'll, one team will challenge that they're gonna sit on the fastball. They're gonna leave the off speed stuff go and see what happens and see if he can get the airbender over the plate. You know, he throws two type of changeups. He's got his strike changeup, and he's got the airbender that expands the strike zone. I think every team faces him a little bit different. It seems like teams now are making him throw his fastball more for a strike. And I think when you look at him tonight, just a little bit off with his fastball, made some great pitches with his fastball, but the airbender was there when he needed it, and he got out of it. I thought the at-bat by Canna, which kind of exemplifies what teams are doing. They're staying on him. They're making him throw strikes. They're making him get ahead in the counts. And I think that's where Devin has to work from now until the end of the season, is get that good comfort level of saying, you know what, I can throw my fastball for a strike. I can throw the airbender for a strike or my regular get-over changer for a strike. And he also throws a cutter once in a while. If he can get that over on a consistent basis early in the count, it just makes him that much more devastating. And I think that's where teams are really challenging him. And I think that's good for him because he has to be strike one type pitcher. When he's strike one, he's outstanding. When he goes ball one, ball two, it can get dicey at times because they can look for a certain pitch and look for a certain count in a certain area.
Augie, it's almost like a guessing game, not only for the batter, you know, they're playing the guessing game at the plate, but Devin's kind of playing the guessing game too. He's trying to outthink what the batter's thinking, if you follow me.
Yeah, I think I agree with it. I think they do. I think teams go out there and they say, how are we going to approach him? And I think the approach is certain teams go out and they really make them throw strikes early in the count. There's teams that will go up and say, hey, you know what? What Devin has been doing, he's been thinking about getting the pitch over the plate early, get that fastball over, and then what they'll do is they'll go and they'll look for that fastball early in the count. It's just a matter of him being able to command the strike zones, and that's what it is. It's going out there, how he feels. I thought two of his previous three outings, except for tonight, in the previous two outings, I thought he was really dynamic with all his pitches, locating the fastball on the inside and outside part of the plate in good locations, expanding his strike zone with his airbender. That's when he's most effective. When he can get ahead, it's hard to sit on a pitch because he's got that airbender and he's got that regular changeup with great movement on it. So it's really interesting how they approach him. But I think that's what's good about the game of baseball and how they approach guys, and what's good for Devin now especially is to be challenged in that way, because when you get to the playoffs, teams are going to face him a certain way. They're going to challenge him in a certain way, and he's got to be ready, and he's got to be up to the task of getting ahead of hitters and then being able to do that great airbender that he does have.
Yeah, Augie, final thoughts on Devin. I agree with you on it's good that he gets challenged, he gets put in these pressure-packed situations, because those are certainly going to be the case in the postseason. However, do you think Devin is one of, you know, take a pick, but specifically him, once you get to a certain point here, once you clinch the division, and then if the chase is over to get, say, the one or two seed, and you just kind of know your fate, do you think Devin might be a candidate to be a guy that you rest, or do you just keep pitching him without wearing him out? I mean, that's kind of a fine line, but what do you think the Brewers are going to do once you get to that point? Do you rest him? Do you keep him going? What do you do with a guy like that?
Well, I think you use him like you would in the playoffs. I think what you're going to do is he's got to be used to two and even sometimes maybe even 3 days in a row if it does come to that. I think you're going to see him going back-to-back games if that does warrant and he does get there. I think the challenges of the next 19 or 18 games that they have to play will warrant him coming into games. I think they're going to go both ways. I think there are going to be times when he feels like he's really comfortable. He goes in, depending on the number of pitches, they're going to rest him the next day. But if he comes in a game and he throws 9 pitches, he throws 11 pitches, they'll bring him back the next day to see how he feels. They're going to have to get him back-to-back-to-back once or twice just to see where he's at. He's a guy who hasn't had that many appearances. He's still kind of, I think he's still finding himself that consistency that he likes to have when he's on the mound. So I think you're going to see him back-to-back several times just to get him used to it, number one, to see how he feels. They're going to probably, if he gets a high pitch count, they're going to give him that day off. And I just think that they're going to go do the back-to-back because in the playoffs, you probably will need that.
He's Jerry Augustine. We're going to chat with Augie one more time before it turns into a pumpkin. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical offers 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure to mention this offer when scheduling your appointment. Visit cider.com today. That's SEIDER.com. Families helping families since 1912. More with Augie after dark. Brewers Extra Innings.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Today.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
3-2 the final in San Francisco as the Brewers knock off the Giants to drop their magic number down to 9. Bob Brainerd with you on the late edition of Brewers Extra Innings along with former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. And Augie, since I got you, I thought we would delve a little bit into this new documentary that's going to premiere this Friday exclusively in Marcus Theaters around Wisconsin. It's called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. I was around for it. You were certainly around for it. But I think, Augie, to document that season and everything that happened in it, there were so many layers, including the Brewers replaced their manager with Harvey Keene. and then still went to the World Series. What did that do to that ball club, Augie, when Harvey came in to take over the reins?
Well, I think when you look at that ball club, you look at the end of 81, the way we finished the season. 81 was a split season, if you remember, Bobby. And I think we took the second half and went on and played the Yankees and lost to the Yankees in five games. And Buck was our manager. I think the next year coming in, I think Buck had so many high hopes that he wanted to win so bad that he tried to maneuver the team. And he tried to make moves that, like, make us win and have us going and changing the lineup every day and doing different things with the pitching staff. And it was something that I don't think you when you're in the manager spot and you have a team of that caliber with everybody back and everybody focusing on what we want to accomplish in 82, I think he just got himself involved and it just wasn't working. We weren't playing good baseball. We were not playing Brewer baseball the way we're capable of. The offensive team coming out and banging up home runs and the pitching staff staying in the games long enough so the bullpen could take over. Defensively playing good, solid baseball. We weren't doing that, and we weren't playing well. We needed a change. And I think when we went into Seattle, there was a game that had the night before Harvey took over. There was a game where we were ahead in the seventh or eighth inning. I think using Raleigh Fingers the way you needed to use Raleigh Fingers before he got hurt that season was he wanted to be in every possible game that we could win. And as you know, relievers had to go three innings or go two innings with less than three runs. Well, we went in a game where we had two innings to go. We had a 5-3 lead, and they didn't bring Raleigh in. And everybody walked off that field that day, and we're under 500. We're depleted. And all of a sudden, the next morning, we walk in a clubhouse, and there's Harvey smiling at us and just changed the way we play baseball. The first thing he said, we're not going to have meetings. Secondly, he said, you guys know what you're doing. We're going to go all play baseball. The lineup is not going to change that much. Everybody here, all 25 guys of you, we all need you to play well in order to win this thing. It's not about nine guys on the field. It's about everybody chipping in. And I think it took off because Harvey was that style of guy that, number one, he would talk to you every day. He is behind you every day. Whether you're going good or bad, you're always involved. And I thought he really changed the mindset of our club. And from that day on, we took off and we were a much better baseball team.
Augie, I don't want to give away, you know, how the documentary ends. No, I'm kidding. But how about the fact that how many teams in baseball or really any sport would get a documentary like this, would have constant discussions about that team in 82 years after the fact when you finish runner up? I mean, usually the runners up, you remember who won the whole the Super Bowl. You remember who won the World Series or the NBA Finals, but nobody really talks about the team that lost in the finals. People are still talking about the Brewers. You know, the parade that they had in Milwaukee for the team that finished runners-up. And now this documentary for the team that finished runners-up just tells you, Augie, the lasting impression that 82 had.
You know what? The personality of Wisconsin and how much they love their sports teams. I am very fortunate, Bobby, and you know it well, I'm born and raised here in Wisconsin. So it means so much more that I was not only a player on the 82 team. I was not only a guy who each and every day went to the ballpark hoping we'd making sure we'd try to win and do the best we could. I was a fan of this club because of the interaction with this ball club, with the community of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, was second to none. And I think you know this, you can understand that being born and raised here, we have a special quality that we have here amongst our sports teams where, you know what, people respect and really take in their sports people. They're people who play here, and they like them like they're family. And I think that's where we were different than everybody else. We were one big family. It wasn't just the Milwaukee Brewer baseball team. It wasn't just the Milwaukee Brewer organization. It was Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin. We were all into doing something special that hadn't been done here in a long time. And I think that's where you get it. You get that kind of it's hard to say exactly, but when everybody mission together for one thing, the fans, the players, the organization, all trying to accomplish one thing. And I think that's why the 82 is so special.
Well said, my friend. It's called Just a Bit Outside. It'll premiere this Friday the 13th exclusively at Marcus Theaters throughout the state of Wisconsin. Augie, let's go out buy popcorn, okay?
Let's go out. You know, Bobby, you said 2 hours and 7 minutes for this game. You know, usually go out to the West Coast, and what do you get? 3 hours and 20 minutes, 3 hours and 40
right.
minutes. I thought you might have to come in with Breakfast with Bob. It was just... It was just a good, quick game. Brewers played really well. Our bullpen has an ERA in the last, 12 games of .56. They're pitching very good. The Brewers are on a big stretch right now where we have to play well, and tonight was a great start.
Yeah, absolutely. Got it, that magic number down in the single digits. It is 9. He is Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher. Augie, I got you out of here before midnight, so you won't turn into a pumpkin. Thank you.
Thanks. Great being with you, as always, Bob.
More Brewers Extra Innings when we return. When we come back, we will hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy. Got to be pleased with what he saw tonight, winning it 3-2.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
They vary.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The magic number is now 9 for the Milwaukee Brewers to clinch the NL Central. They got it done, got it down there. By edging the San Francisco Giants tonight out west. Final score is 3-2. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. We check in with the skipper. I know Pat Murphy wasn't thrilled with that play at the plate with Joey Ortiz, but overall, some good things happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did. You know, leadoff walk he'd like to have back. The home run pitch he'd like to have back. But other than that, I thought he did the same thing he did to him last time. You know, like he attacked the zone, and his cutter was really good tonight, and that's his bread and butter. And I thought he was great. D.L. Hall, terrific. I mean, he hasn't been in that role for us. But you can see why Matt and them traded for him. You know, really special. Look really good.
How about that four pitch? Innings that he had in the fifth.
Yeah, and then who's that?
Savali,
yeah. He was great. Yeah, he was great. Tough night to hit, but still it was a pitcher-dominated game. We made a couple mistakes on the bases that cost us runs maybe, but Churio made two really nice catches and a third one that he didn't make that he'll make if he gets the same ball again, but he was great out there. And a couple base running mistakes again that he'd like to have back. That play at the plate, I think he was safe. I think obviously biased, but we get a lot of those stands that...
Sorry. Was the game plan to try to get on Roop early there tonight?
I mean... The game plan's that. When isn't that the game plan? Oh, let's let them have a few innings. So would that qualify as a dumb question? I think it would.
Adam,
it's been a while.
Adam, since
that's
I mean,
the
since you,
side of one.
since you're the kind of the king of them.
But Murphy, I guess more just to start this.
Feels good to smile.
This stretch of the schedule, you know, to start it with a pretty clean. You score first. You win wire to wire. You get bulk from your first two guys. I mean, it was a pretty good start in that sense.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, I can criticize a couple things here and there, but, you know, I thought the guys competed again. You know, another close game. It's about our 90th this year, I think, within one or two runs. I think 90-some. You know, it's like guys competed, and the McGill and Williams at the end were really good. And yeah, I thought it was a good effort by our pitching staff for sure, and our defense, and then obviously coming out and getting two early runs. It's great.
That swing by Garrett there for the home run, I mean, it didn't look like there were going to be many balls, if any, going out tonight. You know, in Strzemski got the one down the line, but that was a poke, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was great. You know, that's what Garrett has in him. That's what he's got in the tank. So, you know, after a couple not so great at bats, you know, it shows that the kid's resilient and came back and did it.
About the ninth inning, I got a little nervous there, but how big was that strikeout?
You were nervous?
No, I didn't.
I mean, Devin, Devin. He's been in that situation before. So it, for a young team to have that kid, that guy at the end is really nice.
Yeah, see, some good and some things that bothered Pat Murphy. But overall, he said, it feels good to smile because the Brewers get off on the right foot on this road trip out west, winning 3-2. By the way, it's final now in L.A. The Cubs came back to beat the Dodgers 6-3. So the magic number, as we mentioned at the start of the show tonight, is 9. It will stay at 9 as Milwaukee heads back to San Francisco for Game 2 tomorrow night. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will recap Game 1 of this series with the highlights.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
In a tidy 2 hours and change out in San Francisco, the Brewers beat the Giants 3-2. This is how it happens because runs were at a premium. The Brewers got a couple early on. First inning, Contreras at the plate.
A one is a ground ball through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Churio around third. He's headed home. Here's the throw from Yastrzemski. It's up the line. And the Brewers on the board, 1-0, right out of the gate here in San Francisco.
Great start. Willy Adames, though, not done. He kicks it up to 2-0 in the first.
2-2's lined into left field. That's down for a base hit. Add another RBI for Adames as Contreras trots home. First to third goes Bowers. He's in there. And now the throw to second. And they've got Adames. Willie drives in a run. It's 2-0 Milwaukee.
The Giants countered with a run in their half of the first. So it was 2-1. And it stayed that way for another five innings until the sixth. And Garrett Mitchell stepped to the plate.
Garrett Mitchell on the first pitch of the sixth inning. A drive to center. It is back and it is gone. Garrett Mitchell with his fifth home run of the season, and the Brewers on top 3-1.
And Milwaukee needed that because San Francisco countered again. They got a run in the bottom half of the sixth to make it 3-2. And then we go to the ninth inning. It got dicey. Devin Williams came in, put a couple runners on, so you had the tying run at second. You had the winning run at first. Devin Williams, though, delivered.
Giants down to their last strike. Williams. The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Devin Williams slams the door in the ninth. And the Brewers hold on and take a 3-2 lead and turn it into a 3-2 win in San Francisco here tonight as they take game one of this series. And the magic number is down to 9.
There it is. All tidied up for you as the Brewers win it. 3-2. That's game one of this three-game set on San Francisco to start this road trip off on the right foot. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will wrap things up and get you ready for game two.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Inning. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It's final out in San Francisco. The Brewers beat the Giants in game one of this three-game series and the start of this road trip. The final tonight was 3-2. They're going to do it again tomorrow night. Oh, man, it's almost like later today here. In a few more seconds, it'll be later today because we're going to hit the bewitching hour here back in Wisconsin. Game two will feature Colin Ray. He's 12-4, ERA of 3.72 with 122 strikeouts on the season. He'll face Blake Snell, 2-3, 3.62 ERA on 116 Ks for Blake Snell. That is game two, which, yeah, now it's midnight, so now it will be later today out in San Francisco. Pregame is 8 p.m. right here on 620 WTMJ and around the entire Brewer Radio Network. Again, the Cubs were winners down the road in L.A., 6-3. So with the Brewers winning, they dropped their magic number to 9. It stays at 9. Milwaukee, good chance, perhaps, that on this road trip they are able to hit magic number 0 and clinch the NL Central at the very least. Maybe they do it back home when they get back home on Monday for that big three-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies. We shall see. But game two, later today right here on 620 WTMJ. All right, want to thank Jerry Augustine for staying up late, as well as the man pushing all the buttons in the studio, Max Meyerson. And thank you for staying up late with us on Brewers Extra Innings. Good night, everybody.